Blog Talk Radio.
Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. You're listening to Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. Before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports In Depth.
And if I may say that the Sports In-Depth Nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good Doc.
Opened up with Summer Madness team. Go ahead and hear a little bit for a minute. Don't move. I've got these words in that Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. To some great music. With a prayer, because I want to get June here as soon as we can to join us, or when we can tonight. Vincent Crawford, as we talked about it yesterday, from MetLife, been called off. What are we going to do, though? A minute or two. The one only true God. Dear God, we thank you for another day. One pretty happy rolling away. Thanks for last night, playing night this morning. Get it up. Close on our back, shoes on our feet, food on our table. Thank you for paying a debt that was made that you didn't make on a hill long ago called Calvary. Thanks for my family, my radio family here, my family I'm born into. We celebrate today the 9th month. My mother going on home to glory. Remember, she told me, my grandmother said, when she passed, I'm going home. I'm going home. We're all out one day. Sadly enough, not all the same home. We're going home. I ask you to pray for my brother who's having some difficulties. Pray for my friends and family in Puerto Rico, Bobby Maria. And always pray for my family here in New York, New Jersey, South Carolina, North Carolina, Brazil, Dominican Republic, Spain, Italy, and Germany. I've made some friends. Lord, we close in that prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us trespasses. Forgive those trespasses against us. Lead us not in temptation. There's some evil. As the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. In your darling son, Jesus, amen. And bless yourself and your son. Thank you, Lord. And with that, try to get June. Get into what's happening here. Back to Blog Talk Radio. On the Trust in God Radio Network. DKO. Gilberto Ortiz.
Right. Hey, Chelsea, fantastic.
Hey, June, what's up, baby? I got you. They do. Okay. You're not surprised Crawford Spence no longer happening.
I mean, I thought the fight was going to happen. But, you know, to me, it pretty much solidifies everything that Bob Arum was saying about Terrence Crawford, that he's a tough person to sit down and negotiate these deals with. And I think this is a prime example. I mean, this is a big fight in the welterweight division for Undisputed. You know, it's not a unification title fight. It's an Undisputed title fight. Whoever wins all the belts. That being said, I mean, you know, he just wants to know where all the money's coming in and where is it going. You know, he feels he deserves a half of the lion's share, and, you know, some other people feel different, I would say.
Well, you know, my thinking here, June, is, and Dusty, maybe I'll try to get him real quick. You know, Dusty was saying that, you know, he wants to know the amount, and I'm saying, you know, look, if they're going to give you 40%, so they will determine what 40% you get. So at this point, it's irrelevant about what the amount is if you're serious about the fight. Now, somebody made the ridiculous comment that, you know, Spence is afraid of Crawford. I'm saying, well, hold it. Maybe it's Crawford who's...
No. It has nothing to do with Crawford. Listen, for all intents and purposes, Spence wants the fight to still happen. He wants the fight. He already said it. He said this fight's going to happen. But, and he, this goes to show that it's not on Spence's end, because I think Spence had offered him a 60-40 split.
Originally.
Right.
Yeah.
And no, but I think he went... Now, from a 60-40, I think he went to a 55-45 split.
Wow.
So, to me, that's from a 60-40 to a 55-45 split says a lot about Spence.
Hold on, June. Let me see if I can get Dusty here with us. Hold on. How you like that? Doc Stanley, Sports Net. Hey, baby. TKO Gilberto, baby. TKO Gilberto. Hey, Dusty.
What's going on?
Hold on. Okay. I got June on hold, adding you. Let me see if I got you. I've got you both. Okay, June? Okay, June. You got it, baby? June.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Dusty, I got June here.
Hey, June.
What's up, Dusty?
Okay, Dusty.
Don't talk to me anymore. You abandoned me.
Yeah,
okay,
no,
all right.
No, man.
Now, listen now. I just called him, Dusty. The word is out. Spence Crawford is off. June has said a couple of things here. Is that Spence had went from a 60 to 40 to 55-45 split. Go ahead, June. Tell Dusty what you just told me, and our audience.
Earl Spence originally had told Crawford that he'd give him a 60-40 split. Even
right.
though Terrence always wanted a 50-50 split, he feels he deserves half of the lion's share.
Right. And
in certain instances, I do blame him, because you got to keep in mind that Terrence Crawford was never pay-per-view status. He's not pay-per-view status. He doesn't sell on pay-per-view. Unfortunately, that's his doing, because when he was with Bob Arum, he didn't want to promote himself. That was a big issue he had with Bob.
Yeah. I knew that.
Now, right. And he's a tough guy to negotiate, you know, money. You know, he wants
right.
the lion's share. You know, he's taking all the risk. I understand that. But
right.
when you're fighting another fighter who's a unified champion in the same weight class, okay, and is a pay-per-view, and is pay-per-view status, you know, you should. To me, I don't think that he can't, definitely cannot be the A side.
Well, that's true, but he's. Okay, correct me if I'm wrong, but he was willing to do the 55-45, wasn't it?
He was never offered 55-45.
He was offered a 60-40 split.
Oh, by
Earl.
Okay, got you. Right.
Okay, now it goes to show how much Earl wants to fight, that he said he's willing to give him a 45, Spence will take 55 and give him 45.
Okay, good.
So,
okay.
But the problem is that Terrence Crawford, he wants no transparency in regards to how much money is coming in and where that money's going to. So in other words,
that's exactly what I picked up from Max Kellerman,
right,
and Dan Raphael.
Right.
That he wants transparency.
He wants
where every dime is going.
Right.
Yeah.
So now in other words, so he's saying, okay, like say for instance, I'm just throwing out a number. Say for instance they throw him they offering Terrence $20 million. I'm just throwing out a number.
Okay, now
for instance they offer him 20, so that means that whatever pay per view sells at the tail end of it, once it tallies up the score, all that money goes to Earl Spence.
That could be
more than $30-40 million. Could be $50 million.
Well, that's exactly what I was telling Doc. I mean, he wants
a piece of everything that's coming in.
Dusty, hold on, let me do my thought here. He doesn't deserve it, Dusty. He doesn't deserve it.
Look, let me tell you something. Doc, I mean, not Doc, please, Doc. Figure, Mayweather did the same thing with Canelo did the same thing with these guys. I keep the same thing Mayweather did Pacquiao. I keep the pay-per-view, you only get 40 mil. Well, you know, that to me is an insulting freaking thing. If I were Crawford, I will not take a flat fee. I'm entitled to a percentage of the freaking...
Well, Dusty, then I'm back to what I said before. You know, there comes a point, first of all, this guy is an asshole. He's an asshole.
No, that's it.
Hold on. I got the floor. He's an asshole as a person. He's an asshole as promoting. But, I mean, Bob Arum could not make fights with this guy. Okay? So now, hold on. So, I mean, his track record is a record of a horrible guy. First of all, how can he expect X amount when he doesn't sell? Nobody's coming to see Crawford in this fight. Spence is the name, Dusty.
You're not listening to what I'm trying to tell you.
No, Dusty, I heard this already.
I am Crawford. I have 6 world titles. I'm undefeated. Spence gets all the pay-per-view. No, wait a minute. No, that's not fair. I'm entitled to the percentage of that pay-per-view. Other tomato cans like Guerrero, who fought Mayweather, he only took 3 mil. Mayweather wound up with 36 mil because he was a pay-per-view showtime, okay, with a promoter.
So it's Spence here, Dusty. So it's Spence. Spence is the guy that's selling the tickets, Dusty. It ain't Crawford.
I'm telling you, I couldn't care less because I'm the undefeated champion, too.
And that's the point we're making. That's the point we're making because your side of the ledger is not making any sense. And that's why he doesn't sell on pay-per-view, and that's why he's not a pay-per-view fighter, and that's why he hasn't made any fights with Bob Arum. Dusty, you said this yesterday. I should have you call on that thing, too. You're calling, too, Dusty. I said it yesterday, man. It comes a time where it's not about the money. It's about being a champion.
I don't buy that.
Okay. Whether you buy it or not, it's true. Whether you buy it or not, it's true, Dusty. Because you don't buy it. Because you don't buy it don't mean it's Bible. Okay? But Eddie Mustafa did it. Larry Holmes did it.
Well, you
don't care. What do you care? June, join us here. Your thoughts here, June. Your thoughts.
Well, listen, honestly, I think we first and foremost, I have to put this out. These fighters of nowadays, they're not like the fighters from back in the day.
There you go.
And it's true. These guys are making so much money because,
exactly,
you know, and they all want the biggest, the lion's share of the money. Or they all want half, you know.
Exactly.
I understand that, you know.
Yeah, Edgar.
Hey, Danny. Another reason why I'm take my break and take this call is because I knew they're gonna give me more calls.
Yeah.
And now they give me 3 bullshit calls. It's pretty much scanning, like going to the ATM.
Yeah.
And scanning a check that it wasn't scanned properly.
Yeah.
It's pointless. Mm-hmm. It's a pointless call.
Yeah.
But I have to do it. So they gave me like three or four of them, right?
Hmm.
So I put on this call that I'm still waiting for you.
Yeah, okay.
So this call, I'm probably going to close it around 9:30.
Yeah.
Right? So 45, I'm going to put that, I'm taking a 45-minute lunch.
Okay.
And then I'm going to put a request for you for another call.
Okay.
Right? Now, in this bank, I was there earlier. And which is, it was dumb. They couldn't give me the call at that time.
Mm.
But now they want to give it to me. So they want me to go back to this bank. I know for a fact that I looked at it before I left. Mm. That the vestibule closes at 10.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Listen, so, I'm on the radio show. Can you call in and talk for a minute with us?
Right now?
Well, yeah, 5 or 10. Yeah, 646-200-0373.
All right, let me see.
Okay.
All right.
Temple.
All right.
Go ahead, Jim.
Better opposition in the welterweight than Terrence has fought.
Exactly. And you're absolutely right. But what I'm saying to you is that, okay, I'm Terrence Crawford, Jr., okay? Look, I said, goddamn, I won 6 world titles, all right? I cleaned up the 140. I took the 35, and then I jumped up to 147. Spence got three titles. Defeated just like he is.
Well, I mean,
let me finish. Okay. Why the hell can it be, it not be parody? I remember way back with the two greatest heavyweights, Frazier and Ali, $5 million pot. What happened? Parody. 250 and 250.
Yeah, but Dusty, you're talking Frazier and Ali. You're talking Frazier and Ali, Dusty? Dusty, I understand what you're saying with Crawford, okay? I understand, but let's go the other way with us. He ain't Frazier, he ain't Ali. And listen, if you think you can beat the guy, Eddie Mustafa wrong? Eddie Mustafa told Marvin Johnson, Dusty, I'm talking. Whatever you want, I'll give you. I just want you in the ring because I know I can beat you. Don King told Bob Arum. Everything you want, Dusty.
These examples, I don't want to hear them.
Well, Dusty, what you don't hear them? Dusty, they're frustration. If Crawford, this is showing me a lot of things. And I met the guy from the jump, came up with an asshole. He's messed up, and his people messed up. Okay? Now, Spence is willing, and Spence, and we said this yesterday, Dusty, Spence is the name. He's going to do 55-45, and Crawford's still thinking. But here's his resume, Dusty. He does not sell. He doesn't sell on pay-per-view. He doesn't make big fights. Hell, Dusty, if you think the guy was good, would Bob Arum got rid of him? Arum got rid of him.
Listen, I'm going to tell you this. Hmm? I'm going to tell you how difficult Terrence Crawford is. Terrence Crawford is such a difficult person to negotiate fights when it comes down to money that even Eddie Hearns did not want nothing to do with Terrence Crawford.
Exactly.
And what promoter you know then that for the Oscar De La Hoya, Bob Arum,
Mayweather.
Those are big Mayweather, but the three that I just named, they're so big and they have a big stable of fighters. And now if Eddie Hearns is saying that he's better off going somewhere else, that says a lot. It says a lot because it says that if this promoter's not willing to pick him up, Bob Arum just decided to say, fuck him. If you don't want to re-sign with me, I don't want him. He's a difficult person to make fights with.
See, that's the point I'm making. Yeah, all that stuff you're right to agree. Yeah, he's champ. But the point is, you know, everybody has a six-shooter. This motherfucker's got two shots in his gun. Okay?
Yeah.
And
you keep knocking the dude down.
Dusty, we understand you, Dusty, but are you understanding us? The man. Dusty, you know what? Nobody cares if you don't take this fight. Spence can make money with other people. Crawford cannot, Dusty.
That's the point.
You know, the saddest thing in this situation right now is that we may say in order for one of them to become undisputed, they both need each other.
Exactly. They need each other.
If they want to be, if one wants to be undisputed, they both need each other because they cannot be. Can I guess? Neither one of them can be undisputed in the welterweight division unless they fight each other. So that's the sad part.
Yeah. One's gotta go.
Yeah, but I like that line, Dusty. I like that.
I understand Terrence Crawford's point in regards to, all right, he's a shrewd businessman. That's what I can say for him.
He's stupid.
And this is why he
it's not true. No, it's not true, Dusty. I mean, June, you're being, in the words of Rooney, he's stupid.
Use whatever you want.
He's stupid.
Whatever words you want to use is fine. But that being said, being that kind of a person is going to cost you a lot of fights and a lot of good fights.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And he has, he's known for that. He's known for being a difficult person to make sit down and negotiate dollars and cents. In my opinion, I don't think he deserves half of the fight. I think he deserves something that's decent. I think Earl Spence went above and beyond by offering him a 50 because he said 60-40. He said it.
Right.
Now, he went down as far as 55-45 split. I mean.
Right. But I think, June, you told me just now that the 55-45 does not include a taste of the pay-per-view. That, to me, is not fair.
If you go back into history, it wasn't fair when Oscar won more money than Floyd Mayweather when they fought the first fight.
Yeah, what?
You know what I'm saying?
When Floyd fought Canelo,
I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I think Floyd reaped the reward.
Not only that, you know what? Hold on.
Behind a loss, there's always a win if you win the fight.
Right.
Here's the thing, too. Have we forgot that Gotti made more money in the first pay-per-view fight than Mayweather ever had?
Well, you know, and we are different. We are dealing with different animals in that sense that they agree to. Now, I'll give you an example. When Pacquiao said no to Mayweather for the 100th time, I'll give you 40 mil and no pay-per-view, he turned it down. Cotto took it. And he said, well, Cotto, how come you're taking that cheap shit? I mean, with no pay-per-view. I said, look, now you talk about money. I'm making more money in the 40 mil that I made in my whole 10-year with Bob Allen. That I can understand.
Dusty, that also the point here.
Let me finish.
Crawford's going to make the most money ever.
Let me finish.
Dusty, I need you to call on. I need you, when you get through with the point, just hang up and call on the line. Yeah, go ahead, finish.
Yeah, and Cotto has the cables and the pay-per-views in Puerto Rico. That freaking guy walked out with a chump change of 40 mil. He walked out almost close to 70 mil because he had the cables in Puerto Rico. So he didn't care about the American pay-per-view. But what I'm telling you here is Crawford is a hard negotiator, and I'm a champ. I'm undefeated. I'm ambidextrous. Spence fights only.
He doesn't deserve it, Dusty. He doesn't deserve it.
Don't tell me that a fighter does not deserve it.
He does. Okay, I tell you what. Dusty, he don't deserve it. He don't deserve it. Dusty, hold on. I need you to call me online. Call me online, because I got another call. Call me. Call in. So I can have you straight up. Okay.
Yes, Doc. On that note, I got to sign off, brother.
Okay, great. Yeah, I got Dusty to call back in. Okay.
Yeah, hold on. Okay.
Don't disappear. Let's fight some more.
I will. Okay, you got it,
Dustin. God bless you, baby.
Okay.
Thank you,
okay.
Brother.
Okay, June. Hey, June. Your brother didn't call me yet.
I'll call.
Yeah. Don't worry. Okay. Yeah. And if you can get back, I'll try back at you. Okay. 10-4.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Call the studio.
Yeah. Dustin. Hey, Dusty. They lifted the ban on us. Okay. Is this you, Eggers?
Yeah,
I got a 914 call here. Who's calling in?
Yeah, it's Edgar.
Yeah, Edgar. Okay, Edgar. Now you see, we talked about it yesterday. But the thing I want to get to you, the Ravens won that game, but man, the only another close game was 19-17.
Yeah, it's the Bengals. I mean, yeah, they made it close.
Bengals. I'm sorry. I'm watching the Raiders. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. We're talking about yesterday's game, Dusty. You know, and what was – Doc Sandy's supposed to have blocked up right on Twitter. And, gentlemen, you know what? No, I got you here, so I know you got to run to Edgar. I mean, the thing was, you know, you said something that was really staggering. The Ravens are 3-2, Dusty, and they've only trailed 30 seconds in all the games they played.
Yeah.
You know, but yesterday was a game looked like – They were going to blow it open. They, you know, Edgar, they got that big play where they got the touchdown, which made it 10-0 instead of 6-0. That would be the difference, Edgar.
Exactly.
Say it again?
I said, remember they were driving, they got the touchdown to go up 10-0 instead of going 6-0, and that turned out to be the difference that they won the game with 19-17.
Yeah.
I think the Bengals also had – they didn't have the lead for that long during that game yesterday either. So it just continues then that set I was telling you about the Ravens. I don't know. Their defense is not the Ravens of old. They're playing good, but I don't know. When it comes to the clutch moment, they tend to give it up.
Yeah, what he was saying, Dusty, that all season long, the Ravens have only trailed in any football game in totality 30 minutes,
yeah.
30 seconds. Yeah,
yep.
30 seconds. Dr. Stanley Swanson, that Blog Talk Radio on Trust and Government Network. I got Dusty here. Dusty, what's the score of that Chiefs game?
7-0 Raiders.
And that's at Kansas City, right?
Yeah, they're at Kansas City, and Kansas City getting slapped.
Okay, we got both the Dusty Edgar. Also here, too, you know, baseball exists in New York City only because of the Yankees. Said commentary there and we talked about this yesterday, Edgar, we talked about yesterday, Dusty. You know, the Mets went into Atlanta with a one-game lead with two of the best pitchers in baseball. They're two ace pitchers, the two best pitchers on their staff, and they got swept. Here's the question, and we'll start with you, Dusty. You know, is DeGrom coming? Is he done? I mean, he gets hurt over and over again. I mean, it's not his fault, Dusty, but he gets hurt over and over again.
Well, you know, they keep putting a lot of pressure on DeGrom because he's the closer, he's the man with the Mets. I mean, they should have gotten other young dudes, other young arms, because his arm is blown. I mean, to me, he's just going on memory. But
Dusty, would you?
He's going on memory. I used to pitch this way 3 years ago, and that's basically, he's not the same guy before. He's not the killer. So they should have gotten better arms, younger arms, you know, or they should have. Like some managers have done, that you're my starter, but you're only going to do 3 innings, and then boom, I'm going to get another starter and do another 3 innings, and then boom, you're going to get my third starter to finish up the game. I mean, managers.
Dusty, can we safely say though, with the 101 wins, getting to the playoffs, looking at things on this side of the ledger with the team he had, Buck Showalter, in your opinion, National League Manager of the Year?
Nah, I believe manager of the year has to take the team to the playoffs, which they did. They lost. They got shut out yesterday. It was a one hitter. Oh my God! What a disgrace. With all the batters that they had, the Mets, and do well in the playoffs, or maybe even get into the soup. But then I don't know what the voting is now with these dudes, and maybe just out of veteran, you know, since he's a veteran and he did so well with the Mets. But then again, my man, Willie Randolph, took the freaking Mets the same way, built them up, and he didn't get manager of the year. So I don't care if Showalter gets nothing, because I remember that. So the fact of the matter,
you know, the thing you talk about there too, Dusty, was Giraldi got fired.
Yeah, jackass.
Fired. Wasn't like he got fired with a winning. He got fired with a losing record. Willie Randolph had a winning record. Willie Randolph's team won the division, and Willie Randolph took his team to the playoffs.
Exactly, and he gets it. Willie Randolph gets nothing. And Willie
I remember I talked to Willie one time, and Willie said, "Hey, Jesse," Willie said, "he got my award."
It's true. He got his award. And the thing is, that year, the Mets were super scrubs. And he made them a contending team. Okay? Made them a contending team. Here, the Mets were, I mean, world beaters were Lindor and all them guys and Diaz and the I mean, these guys, and then winning 101.
DeGrom, they got DeGrom. They signed Schwarzer. You know what I mean? You're right. Exactly. You're right.
You know, they had, and they also wanted to sign Juan Soto, who turned around and he went to San Diego. You know, but the fact of the matter is that they had good ball players. You know, they got good ball players in 101 games. Man, when do you win 101 games and then flop and flop and lose and then lose? You could only get one hit. It was a one hitter that they lost, 6-0 shutout, one hit shutout. Come on.
I think they got that one hit in the 7th inning, right, Dusty?
Somewhere in the middle, 6th, 7th inning or some crap like that. They broke the guy's no hitter. I mean, so I don't know. People were saying, well, you know, they star crossed my foot. You had a top drafting team there. I mean, you had a big nucleus of good ball players. Lindor was supposed to be the plow horse to lead them to the World Series, and Lindor did crap. You know, and then the other guys, you know, and then to just ground out and strike out and strike out and ground out. When you know the life is on the line, you already lost. You already lost to San Diego. So, you know, and they turn around and they not it wasn't even a fighting chance to lose a one hitter, 6-0, one hitter shutout. Later for the Mets. Yeah,
Hey, Dusty, like they used to say, they got their ding-ling knocked in the dirt.
they certainly did. I mean, you know, so with Showalter out of veterancy and some old-timer said, well, he's a good guy, give it to him. I don't care. I will be scouting the managers in the playoffs to see how well they take that team. Now, who's the underdog in the National League? You know,
I think it has to be Roberts or the Dodgers.
Well, the Dodgers, you know, the Dodgers, or maybe even San Diego. And you know, and now the manager of these teams get to the pennant and maybe go to the series but still lose. Well, this guy took these scrubs who were not supposed to win all the way through, so I would give him the manager of the year. But not sure.
Well, I think what they do is they judge it on what the manager does during the season. So
exactly.
You know, getting into the playoffs is a plus. But
yeah.
They're not going to hold that. Well, you know what? Cause I think they may have already voted on it already. I think they have to vote before the playoffs. Therefore, because now you're right. You take a whole different perspective now of playing 3 games in your own home park, winning 101 games, having 2 of the ace pitchers in baseball on your staff, and getting swept. And the last game, really getting kicked in the booty. I'm checking up now. They got a hit in the 7th inning. So they had 6 innings of no-hit ball, 9 innings of being shut out. So, one of those things. Well, we got the Yankees coming in tomorrow. They got the Guardians coming in. And Dusty, what's your feeling on this changing these names that you used for years, the Indians, the Redskins? I'm thinking, you know, okay, it doesn't take away from the injustice that were inflicted. It doesn't take away from the things that you did to them. So, I mean, you know, if you're not going to do anything to advance that civilization and aid them, you know, is this a feel-good thing? You're going to change your name? So now, you know, instead of calling me nigger, you're calling me Negro?
No, God bless you for that question because it eats me. It's giving me a freaking ulcer up and down. Why change from the Cleveland Indians to the Guardians? What are you, security guard? That's bullshit. The Washington football team, they took the Redskins out. Why?
Yeah, I don't even know what their name is.
Yeah, but then still you still have the Atlanta Braves. So how come they kept their name? So the thing is, to me, that was stupid. I don't know who complained and it was racist and this, that, and the other. BS. That's the team that started from the very beginning and has been winning World Series and playoffs all these centuries, and now all of a sudden it's a racist name.
Here's 2 points to bring up here. Doc Sunday Sports, the Blocks, the Greater Touch, and got my co-host Dusty. Here's 2 things. The Cleveland Indians, were the second team in baseball to get a black player, but they were the first team to have a black player on their team and win the World Series. They were the first team to have a black player lead the league in home runs and RBIs. That was Larry Doby. The
Washington Redskins. Yeah, I knew you were saying yeah, Larry Doby.
And the Washington Redskins were the last team to get a black football player in NFL. Okay? And the only reason why they did that, their stadium was federally funded, and the Kennedys told them if they didn't get a black player, they were going to lose the funding. And the owner of the Redskins, such a devout racist, that he had in his will that none of his monies after he passed away would go to any way, shape, or form aiding and abetting civil rights.
Well, that's his problem, because Doug Williams was the first quarterback to lead the stupid Washington Redskins into a Super Bowl. So what the hell are they talking about?
Yeah, well, I mean, he had passed already. Yeah, but before they got Doug and stuff. But Bobby Mitchell was the first black player on the Redskins. He left the Browns. The Browns were upset because Bobby was an integral part. Jim Brown said he would look at the grass prints of Bobby Mitchell and Gale Sayers, he said, and there were none. That's how light and quick. He said, I looked, and there was no grass imprints, you know, on the field when Gale Sayers and Bobby Mitchell ran, you know. And, wow, that's something. That's another player, Luke, plugs you. Don't go.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
Open up real quickly to get June and Dusty here, so we're going to open up like we always do. Sam Cook is going to open up for us, and we'll get back with Dusty. June is here. Joe June left. Maybe we can get Lady A to come back with us again. But anyhow, opening up like we always do, Sam Cook, touch the hem of his garment.
Oh, there was a woman in the Bible days. She had been sick so very long. But she heard my Jesus was passing by, so she joined the gathering throng.
All right.
And while she was pushing her way through, someone asked her, what are you trying to do?
Fine.
She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole.
Well, thirdly.
She cried, oh, she had no more to spare. The doctors, they done all they could, but their medicine would do no good. When she touched him, the Savior didn't see, but still he turned around and cried, somebody touch me. She said, it was I who just want to touch the hem of your garment. I know I'll be made whole. Crying, oh, 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 Lord, and oh, Lord, said if I could just touch the hem of your garment, I know I'll be made whole right now.
You're listening to Sports and Death on Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. It's Doc Stanley and his posse, where we rope the rumors, call side issues, and brand the truth. Trust in God.
Preseason basketball is happening. We had some scores earlier. Right in October. Now it's preseason. I said it's one of the Blog Talk Radio and the Trust in God Network. We are and Dusty here. Got some fights. Dusty, you know, we got some fights this weekend. Let me go on here, Dusty. Let me go online. We've got
Chocolatito, I think.
No, we've got Broner.
Oh, Adrian, that's right. Adrian, I'm fighting this weekend.
No, not Broner. God, you know what? It's something, man. I've even forgot his darn. Man, you know what? The guy, no, I guess we kind of forgot him some because of the way he treated our man Mark Breland.
Wilder. Jesus.
Yeah, he's fighting.
Yes.
This
Hellenius. Deontay Wilder.
Yeah, he's fighting this weekend at the Barclays Center.
Coming weekend, and this guy Hellenius is a bad dude, you know. He destroyed that favorite of ours, that friend of ours from Brooklyn, that Polish kid, Babyface, whatever his name is. Fought him knocked him out once and then destroyed him the second time. And he fought another guy and he knocked him out. He's pretty good, this guy. But, you know, I think Deontay is going to come back with a cinder block right hand. I mean, no jab, no nothing. But remember, he has a guy who's trained him, who's given him a half-assed jab and half-assed movement and boxing, you know, and body punching. But who knows what he's going to do with this guy, Hellenius. Hellenius stands up straight, and that's tailor-made for Deontay's right hand. You know, so you know, but the fact of the matter is, yeah, that he's at the Barclays, I believe. He's going to be at the Barclays.
Yeah, Barclays with the year.
Yeah. We at the Barclays, his hometown. I mean, he calls it his home depot. But
on terms of purposes, it really, really is. You know what I mean? I'm looking at the press notes now, so we can get the record of both guys. I got something. I think it was last Friday. The approval. Okay, Premier Boxing. No, that's another show on Showtime. That was Saturday. Did you see that fight, Thunder Roar against Ocampo on Showtime, Dusty?
Which one was that?
I'm looking at it now. It was a Showtime fight. Must not have been too much if you didn't look at it. You had, this past Saturday on Fandora against Ocampo. Let me see. Unbeaten welterweight super world sensation Sebastian the Towering Inferno Fantoro.
They got into the cable. I couldn't get through Fandora.
Okay. The WBC super welterweight title fight was on the line also. I just said you saw that one.
But I'm
trying to get to my notes here.
I don't know how true it is. I heard you won, but I don't know how true it is. The Fandora
won. I like that, Jesse. Okay, here we go. This is what we're looking for here. I gotta have to answer this too. Make a change. It's Wilder against Hellenius. It is they're working out in Gleason's on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then Thursday is the final press conference.
Yeah.
Weigh in on Friday and then they're fighting on Saturday. Wilder will see former heavyweight champion and boxing sensation Deontay, the bronze bomber Wilder, take on top rated Robert, the Nordic Nightmare, Hellenius, and a WBC welterweight title elimination on Saturday, October 15th, topping a Fox Sports pay-per-view.
Yeah.
In the Barclays Center. And I said, we got anybody else on the undercard that we can think of? I don't see anything any special here. But that's what we got. I'm just looking for their records and stuff. And I don't have those here, too. This is, Dusty, for all intents and purposes, Wilder's last shot?
Well, it's not his last shot, but his shot is his shot at redemption, okay?
And to also get back in the mix.
Right. His shot at redemption, get back in the mix because he took 3 beatings from Tyson Fury. The second fight was horrible. But the third fight was vicious. I mean, when Tyson hit him, I could have put him in a casket and taken him to the cemetery. And I'm not trying to be funny, but Tyson was just too much for this guy. He had his number on him. But what I'm saying to you that this is his fight to get his mindset. You know, there's a psychological approach that when a guy gets knocked out, he becomes wary of, is it going to happen to me again? Okay, when a guy gets
beat, it becomes, like they say, gun shy.
gun-shy. And, you know, this guy, Hellenius, is no pushover. This guy's tough. He's tall. He's as tall or maybe taller than Wilder. And he got a pretty good punch, a good right hand. So can Wilder absorb, you know, his right hand, you know, even though to me, I got Wilder with that cinder block. I mean, as soon as he gets it, he's going to throw that
bomb. You know, I remember you talking about him because, you know, you and Lady A, GW Mike, you know, your sort of deficiencies. But I remember we talked on, you said, you know, Doc, but, you know, he can eradicate, erase, eliminate all problems if he can hit you with that right hand.
Exactly. Everybody will see him getting slap, like the first Tyson Fury fight. Do you know that dudes today still feel that Wilder won the fight? Man, he won. He was dropped. He dropped Tyson in the 12th round and knocked him out. Tyson just beat the count. But what about the other 7-8 rounds when Tyson Fury was slapping the shit out of him? But no, that knockout. So people go in. They're going in. They're going to see Wilder. They're coming in to see that right hand. They're not coming in to see anything else. and it's a mindset for Wilder. He knows he took a bad beating twice, and he's coming up against a guy that was very good. Hellenius is undefeated, and he's just taller than Wilder. So you know, so he's really has a plow horse mentality to be able to get over this guy. Once he gets over this guy, I've always wanted to see him go after Anthony Joshua. And it seems to me that if he does beat this guy, he can say, well, look, I'm back in. Luis Ortiz lost to...
That would be a good fight. And they're both, at this point in their careers, at the same status they were when the fight didn't come off. Both undefeated, both champions. Now, you know, neither is champion, neither is no longer undefeated. But that would be the next fight to make if he wins this fight Saturday, Dusty. And then that would be the fight to springboard. And it depends on how good the fight would be. That would make one a contender. And I bet if it's a good enough fight, it could make both guys a contender for the title again. What do you think, Dusty?
Exactly. No, you're right. But you see, there is a guy, oh, my God, I forgot his name. There's an animal that's about 6'7". Oh, God, I saw him fight the other day. I saw clips of his fighting the other day. And they're talking about him and Wilder. But this guy's a monster.
Two things here. Wilder doesn't need any more monsters. And all the money, and the money is with Joshua.
Yeah, the money is with Joshua, but they're pushing this dude to get into the mix because he's 18-0 or something like that, and 18 knockouts. But the guy's good. I saw his fighting form. He's not one sloppy throw bombers. He boxes, he jabs, and when he hits you, he knocks you into next week. I forgot the freaking guy's name. He's an undefeated heavyweight. They're priming him now. And who knows? They'll probably say, well, okay, Wilder, you beat Hellenius. Well, then in an elimination, you fight this dude. And if you beat this dude, we put you in a title fight or another elimination with Anthony Joshua. You know, who knows? Anthony Joshua is now ready for the cleaners. I didn't like him in the first fight.
Just, you know. Listen, Dusty, the reality of the situation, he's supposed to be Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Garvin Network. He was exposed when he lost at the Garden.
Yeah. He was exposed. In fact, I'm going to tell you something you're not going to accept, you're not going to believe. He was exposed when he fought Klitschko. And I tell you why, Klitschko hit him with a right hand that knocked him into next week, meaning Joshua. He fell down like a lump rock. He tried to get up, and he stumbled face first. I said, oh, shit, the fight's over. But with his youth, I guess, youth and strength, and being that that Klitschko was a diminished capacity, he was able to get up. He was able to get up and give Klitschko a pretty good beating, and where they stopped.
Hey, Dusty, here's the question. How much of a difference would that have made had Emmanuel Stewart still been in Klitschko's corner? I say he wins that fight.
Klitschko would have pulled it out. Why? Because Klitschko, Emmanuel Stewart was like the Svengali of dudes who couldn't fight. He made them, you know, the two Klitschko brothers, Lennox Lewis. There was another guy he had.
Yeah, Lennox Lewis.
No, but there was a third heavyweight that he had. When he took over the two fights with Miguel Cotto, he made him a better fighter. Okay? You remember that we were talking to Michael Stewart when he took over Miguel Cotto? He says, no, I'm not going to change your style. I'm just going to improve and eliminate the defects.
The deficiencies.
Make him a better fighter than what he is.
Yeah. Delete the bad habits enhance the strength.
Exactly. And that's what Emmanuel...
I mean, why are you trying to hit the ball to right field when the defense is the same distance in left field? You know what I mean?
Exactly. So Emmanuel was one, to me, was a premier teacher, not a trainer. He was the teacher or the psychologist. And when he had the Klitschko brothers, he turned them into contenders of world. But he was able to. So the guy who's training, who will work under Emmanuel Stewart, is the guy who trained Triple G.
Okay.
He's the guy who trained Triple G, but.
Triple G's trainer, his name is Case Me too. Was he a factor in how both Triple G looked and him losing against Canelo this time? After the first two fights, where a lot of people saw Triple G win in one fight, and definitely, they'd buy the draw. But I see his face. I can't think of his name now. How much of a deficit was that for Triple G to not have him in his corner, the guy that's with him, those two fights, his other fights? Was that a detriment to him, the way it was for Klitschko without Emmanuel? They're not the same class, great friends. Well, Emmanuel's the greatest. Marion Borg said at every major fight, Emmanuel Stewart should be in both corners. But did Triple G lose something by not having the guy that he had all the time with him? His name is in my life.
Sanchez is his name. His last name is Sanchez. Yeah, the Mexican guy who was with Triple G all along. Remember him?
Yeah. I can't think of his darn name, man.
Sanchez.
Did he miss him, Dusty? Did he miss him?
When Triple G, this is a story, when Triple G lost to Canelo the second time, in the last three or four rounds, you see, Canelo gave Triple G such a beating, really. He's a strong Russian, but he battered, mugged Triple G. What saved Triple G from being knocked out was his horrific jab. He has a tremendous jab. And he was backing off. He couldn't advance. Canelo was a stalker, and he was hurting him. He busted his right eye, swollen his right cheek. His right eye, right eyeball were bleeding internally. That's how hard Canelo hit him. And then the left hooks to the body. He wouldn't move his right hand because he was taking too many liver shots. Now, in the last 8, 9, or 10 rounds, Sanchez was telling him, you're not fighting. You're letting him back you off. We need these three rounds. Don't back from him. Triple G had no recourse. He could not fight Canelo because Canelo was all over him. Now, he turned around very unfairly and criticized Sanchez for the loss. That's what he said. He, well, I just didn't have, he didn't train me right or some crap like that. That's why he broke from him and started.
Oh, Abel Sanchez.
Abel Sanchez. Okay, now, right, Abel Sanchez. So what happens, he trained with other guys, but then he hooked up with the guy who used to work with Emmanuel Stewart with the Klitschko's. A tall heavyweight. He used to be a heavyweight. He had a record of 27-2 before he became a trainer. So that's the guy that Triple G hooked up with. But in the first two or three fights, Triple G looked like crap. He fought a guy from Jersey, just about barely stopped him. Either the guy was afraid of him, and Triple G hit him with a body shot, and the fight's over. And then he fought a Russian that if it hadn't been for the knockdown, another Russian, hadn't been for the knockdown, Triple G would have lost because of the fact this guy was good. So I said, oh, wow, you know, Triple G is, you know, really gone down. He's in fighting, this, that, and the other. So then now he fought this Japanese guy. Now, let me tell you, Doc, I don't know if you saw the fight, but I gave that Japanese guy the first six rounds against Triple G. You were battering and beating the crap out of Triple G. Okay? But then, you know, his body punching, this, that, and the other, got to the Japanese guy and got him, and he rocked him, and I think he stopped him in the 10th round. But he was a loser, as far as I'm concerned. Now, and then that's when they finally negotiated to fight Canelo. Now, this third fight, Canelo fought the same way, but I saw that Triple G was not the Triple G of the second Canelo fight, of the first Canelo fight. So something missing. Triple G is now 41 years of age, but he wasn't sharp. He seemed, I think I told you, it seemed to me that he was just in there for a payday because he wasn't fighting the way he normally fought, especially against Canelo. And he was cautious about throwing his punches. He threw his jab. And then when Canelo got tired in the 9th or 10th round, that's when he came on board. But by that time, heck, Canelo had won the first 6 or 7 rounds. So he came alive in those two or three rounds. So Triple G he's still a champion because he was fighting for the super middleweight. He has some middleweight title there. So the fact of the matter is that he said he'll still continue fighting, but he's not the Triple G that was cleaning and knocking people out and had a knockout streak of 23 fights before Danny Jacobs. You know, so he's just going in there to pick up some money. I mean, as far as I'm, you know, I can see if Triple G was to fight a Charlo, I think the Charlo would beat him.
Really?
If Triple G was to fight, what's another outstanding middleweight there somewhere? I think he would lose because he's not the Triple G that I'm used to seeing. You see? And, you know, I could be wrong. But, you know, I've seen the Charlos, as much as I criticize them, they've improved.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. How, Dusty? How?
Boxing, ring generalship. One is training with Ronnie Shields, and the other one is training with that young guy, Fleming, or I don't know what his name. The same guy that trained Spence.
Reed, I think. I forgot it. I've got to call him, too. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, the last time I fought the Charlo was he now owns all the junior middleweight titles, one of the Charlos. The guy was beautiful, man. Box. I said, when the hell is this guy boxing? And instead of like he usually throw punches and big box, he was boxing the dude and then he caught him with a counter punch left hook and knocked out the dude. So I said, whoa, this guy's improved, you know? So one of them was Ronnie Shields, and the other guy is with this guy. But they, to me, they have improved. So I don't know. I mean, when they're gonna fight? Because I mean, it's been a long time since I've seen him fight. But what's gonna happen? But you know, getting back to Triple G, he's on the downgrade to me. Whether he's gonna fight another fight or who's he gonna fight now, I don't have the slightest idea. I don't see, you know, something. I haven't seen any middleweights around. You know, because he is a middleweight champ, but I haven't seen any middleweights around that could challenge Triple G. Okay, so I just don't know. You know, who he's gonna fight. Oh, and Caleb Plant, the guy who got knocked out by Canelo, is gonna fight. Oh, he's on the underneath card of the Deontay Wilder fight. Caleb Plant.
Oh, really?
He fought one of the Terrell brothers, I believe. Terrell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Terry. Okay. Yeah, the two brother fighters. They're super middleweights or something like that. And he's fighting one of the Devon Terrell or Darrell Terrell or something like that. Well, he's fighting him. He's making a comeback from the Canelo defeat. But you know, there isn't. I haven't seen any middleweights around that will really spark my interest. You know, I haven't seen anybody around before. There was a whole bunch, and Canelo, you know, he's super middleweight now, so and then he's going to fight Bivol again to get even, and you know, and they're talking about him going cruiserweight. I said, are you serious? He's tempted. He said, well, I want to fight everybody.
Really?
If I have to go cruiserweight, I'll do that. I said, oh, crap.
Leave here, and I can run it on the show. I got June and Dusty here. Well, June just left. They both said hello to you. Take care. Trust in God. Doc Stanley, Sports Network, Blog Talk Radio, Trust in God Network. That was Lady A shouting that maybe she can give us a comment. We're looking for GW Mike to join us. And, Dusty, what's the update on that Kansas City Raiders game?
Oh, Jesus. I got away because I was talking to you. Let me see.
They're still playing.
Mahone looks good, but Mahone the Raiders are giving him a hard time, defense and all that nonsense, you know. So the fact of the matter is that he may lose his game, but he cannot afford to lose that game if he wants to stay a contender. But he may or may not lose it.
You know what? When I listen to them, man, we're gonna play a little music here for a minute. We're talking two old AFL teams, the Raiders and the Chiefs, and they were both the two teams who were in the first two Super Bowls.
Yeah,
the Chiefs lost to the Packers, and I believe it was the Raiders who lost to the Packers the second time too. Yeah, but they two AFL teams, the Mad Bomber Joe LaMonica, George Blanda, the kicker and backup man, and then you know. The Raiders, man, Kenny the Snake Snavler, Lester Hayes, Warren Wells, Fred Biletnikoff, man.
And they have go ahead.
No. I remember cutting on the radio as a kid, and it was a championship game, man. And they had some great players. There was Keith Lincoln, Paul Lowe. I don't know if they were the Raiders or not. Now, I remember because it was the championship game because they weren't getting a lot of at that time until they finally got a good TV contract. But it was Paul Lowe, Keith Lincoln. I forgot who the – maybe I don't think John Hadle was the quarterback. Some reason I'm thinking it's John Hadle. John Hadle, Keith Lincoln, and Paul Lowe. They were the backs.
Remember the Raiders quarterback, the American Indian guy. I forget his name.
Yeah, now I'm talking about way back. You know, I think you're thinking about the guy from out in the Rams, Roman Gabriel.
No, it's not Gabriel.
Okay.
Oh, man, look at this. Raiders 17, Kansas City 7.
What quarter? How much time?
Well, they're going into the first half now. They got 1 minute before the second half.
Uh-huh. And who's got the ball?
The Raiders got the ball now. But, but I mean, 17-7 Raiders. And the Raiders got a record of
10-point spread on the road, too. Wow. Got to see what happened in the second half. They can put up a lot of points, though. Yesterday, Jets come back and win again. It's back-to-back wins now. They won on the road again, second road win.
Yeah.
And now their first home win.
Exactly. And I saw the Giants in London. Man, I was happy for them to embarrass the quarterback from the Packers.
Aaron Rodgers.
He was pissed off. He could see him angry that the lowly Giants. But then the Giants are 4-1. So how the hell are you gonna walk around with lowly Giants?
I think the Giants. The thing I don't understand. Listen to that game going out to the Jet game. Doc Tenney Sports Network, Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Guard Network, and I'm going to do something here too in a minute. It's 3rd and 2 in the red zone, and I'm thinking, why is he passing the football? Hand the football off to somebody, get the first down, now you got another set of downs, okay? So he's throwing the ball, incomplete, and then the next pass gets blocked, that's on him. Got a thought here real quick, everybody. Today, I'm going to Ferris Lord Jesus is a song I'm going to play. My mother taught me as a kid, and she learned it in Catholic school. My mother, it was unique, at the Catholic school. This is Street from the House of Third Baptist. I'm doing this today because this is the October. Of the passing. Some of the comments my mother had. Who's your head for more than just a hat rack, And always said, don't ever let nobody be better than you. Family there, it meant a lot to us, man. We sent the cards and stuff, but it meant a lot to us, man. At a time like that, it was a strengthening factor to us. You love us as much as we love you. Be forgotten, always be appreciated. Yeah, Blog Talk Radio and Trust in God, man. We'll let the music play, and then we'll be right back here.
territory now with the way these quarterbacks are going to be protected in the wake of the two attempted by Lewis. There's no doubt, man. Thank you.
Like I said, just remember my mom's there. This is the 9th month anniversary of, as my cousin said, her transitioning, moving on to glory. I remember she said, my grandmother, she was passing, she's in the bed. She said, I'm going home. I'm going home. And now she's there, just one of many things she's doing. I remember the great carriage ride that my sister put together, and in the video it had that great song, walking around heaven all day. And all of us with great mothers, so vastly blessed to have had them, those who still have them, just thank God for them. And Appreciate it. And I just, like I said, on the behalf of my family and Dusty's family, whose family, but it meant a lot. It seemed like a small thing to him. It seemed like a thing he was obligated to do. That touches your heart, too. And he was there, son, nephews, and it was something that, never be forgotten, always be remembered, and highly appreciate it. And, when you ring the bell for champion. Dusty here, G-Dub. Spence and Crawford is close to, seem like, not happening.
Yeah,
and we got a fight.
Yeah.
At Barclay Theater. So your thoughts on this, on the Spence Crawford thing not happening, possibly.
I think that I did listen to some words from Steven Espinosa last night, and he's the spokesman for Showtime, and he says that whether the fight happens now or a year from now, or some, on that note, he says the crowd's not going to really care once it's done, and he says that he. He believes that the fight's going to take another 6 to 8 weeks. I think personally we'll find out more this weekend when we're at the press conferences and the fight night over in the Barclays Center. We got some big energy coming to New York this weekend with Deontay making his comeback. So I think with Deontay's comeback, that's going to bring a lot of buzz for the Crawford fight. A lot of questions are going to have to be asked, especially by the New York press. We leave no stone unturned. So I'm sure they're going to be hitting all of the people up at PBC for that. I personally think that it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen early next year. I foresee it happening.
Sad.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen January, February, because you know they're going to lose money unless they peep it in the early part of December, because the first week of December is not a bad.
Yeah, December's long. Yeah, they've been training. Let me ask you something. Max Kellerman and Dan Raphael, they said this. They threw this bite out. It says that the reason why is it possible that they're playing around with the money with Crawford and all that because Spence doesn't want to fight him. So they put that in my head. I said, well, that's ridiculous. But then again, food for thought. Spence knows he cannot beat Crawford, so that's why they're playing with the money.
June, at the beginning of the show, Dusty, that Crawford said, we'll do 55-45. So how is Spence saying, hey, okay, I gave you 60-40. I'm going to make it 55-45. Let's go. Maybe Crawford's afraid of Spence, but Spence can't be afraid of him if he's saying, well, hey, man, guy trying to make the fight.
No.
So he's saying,
understand what I'm saying. It's the reverse.
No, I did understand. Well, you said that they said that he was possibly scared
Spence, not Crawford.
Yeah, you're Crawford. So I'm saying, you know, first of all, and I'll say this loudly, you know, who the fuck is Dan Raphael? Okay?
Okay.
You know, these guys get a platform. You don't know. Now,
you can criticize.
Maximum. I love Max. I love Max dearly. Max is a dear friend. But Max, you know, is reporting what he heard. I'll lean toward, you know, the lies that are coming, what Max says are coming, because Max, you know, Max Cullerman is a Marion Boykin disciple. It was Marion Boykin who bred him, Marion Boykin who inspired him. Until this day, he has a devout love and obligation to both of us. But I'm saying, you know, you made a comment that they made. So I'm saying at the beginning of this show, and this is my people are the absolute best, June said that it seems to be that Spence wants to make the fight and Crawford doesn't. And he says Spence has gone so far as to say, hey, you know what? Forget the 60-40. Let's make it 55-45. So I'm saying that should eliminate this so-called vicious rumor that Spence is afraid of Crawford. And how could he be afraid of Crawford after seeing how Crawford was losing to our man, the football player?
You know, well, so was Spence, Doc. You know that.
I'm not talking about Spence, Dusty. I'm talking about he was losing, and he was losing big. From what I heard, he was back on two scorecards he was losing, okay?
Right.
And fighting a guy that was not at the same level that he was when he fought Spence. But the biggest thing is, let's just kick that out the window. Let's go with June said. Spence said, let's make the money 55-45. That tells me, it sounds like to me that Spence ain't scared. So, I mean, so let's forget the other things that I'm adding in. Let's just go with what June said at the top of the show. Okay, what June said at the top of the show, that Spence seems to be the guy that wants to make the fight, and he said, you know what, let's forget the 60-40, let's do 55-45. I love what you're bringing in, what they say, but I just said how I feel about Dan Raphael. You know, all these guys, I can name some other guys who don't know anything, but the bottom line is this. June said that Spence said, let's forget 60-40, let's do 55-45. So I'm saying to me, now, GW, does that sound like a guy that's scared?
No, look, let me tell you something, Doc. You keep repeating the same thing over and over
Hold on, Dusty. I got a 621 call coming in. And G-Dub, does that sound like a guy that's scared of you?
You know, I don't have to be repeating myself. I told you, and I repeat to you, that mention came out of Max Kellerman and then repeated by Dan Raphael. Max Kellerman.
Yeah, what I'm saying, I got a 612 call. Who you are? I understand what you said, Dusty. You said it. I'm saying if Spence said 55-45, that to me it doesn't sound like he's scared. But gentlemen, what I need to know, I got a 612 call. Who's joining us? Hello.
Yes, sir, this is Mike. How you doing? Yep. Can you hear me?
Who's this?
This is Mike.
Okay, Mike, where you calling from?
Philadelphia.
Okay, and you must have some thoughts here. So, what sparked you to join us, Mike?
No, I just saw the your show on Blog Talk Radio, and I just noticed that you guys referenced in God, and I just wanted to know, are you guys all Christians on your show?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean,
and this question I'm going to ask is coming from like an immigrant perspective, so I'm kind of new.
Well, come on,
country,
Mike, come
so
with it, Mike, come with
outside.
It.
So there's a
no,
reason
come,
this
come,
is
come,
bad.
Come
so the perspective I want to ask you is this, is that can someone be a Christian in America today and still vote Democrat?
So what are you trying to say, that Democrats are not Christians?
I'm saying the Democrat agenda is like anti-Christian.
My question is that are you saying that Democrats are not Christians?
I'm saying that
because I'm thinking for you to ask this question that maybe you're Republican.
No, I'm not Republican. I'm not affiliated.
Okay, so
if
we look at the Republican Party. They've done a horde of things that doesn't seem like they'd be too Christian either, especially if we had a guy that's pushing a racial agenda.
Well, I would just say because when it comes to the Democrats, the things that they push aggressively are completely against God's law. Like when it comes to the LGBT agenda, they're teaching young children that they are somehow their gender is fluid, that a boy can become a girl or a girl can become a boy.
Yeah, but I don't think the Republicans have went the other way on that. I mean, you know,
Those issues compared to the Democrats is not as bad. And I'm not saying you have to vote Republican. I'm saying our Christians. Mm-hmm. I think our Christians' options in America today are either don't vote, period, like don't get involved in politics, or vote Republican. I just don't think the Democrat option is even on the table anymore, because they are so far gone on some of this stuff that.
Here's the bottom line, Mike. You know, Democrat, Republican. You know, hey, this is very simple. You know, you don't choose God; God chooses you. So the Christian is a title, just a title, like. You have the denominations, you have the Christians, the Baptists, the Jehovah's. So it's just a title. So Christianity is just a title. I mean, but are we going to lump this in? And that's irrelevant. You know, God does the saving. God does the choosing. So whether you're Democrat or Republican, by whatever, you know, party you want to do so, I mean, you're picking some agendas out. But I'm pretty sure you could find some agendas from the Republican side that would make you question sainthood that we're talking about? And surely, you know, my thing has always been, you talk about the Catholic Church, you got to be, you're kidding me. You're kidding me when, you know, you can pray to St. Paul, St. Peter. You know, the only person you pray to is God. So there's no saint that's
right.
going to
no,
save
I'm
you.
Not, no, I'm not a Catholic, so
I'm just saying that we look at religious, we're all going to come up short. But, you know, to say that
I'm just going off the Bible here, because the Bible gives us pretty clear instructions, like in Romans chapter 1.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure you can find something biblically that the Republicans aren't doing either.
Okay, so give me one example.
I'm not you're the one doing the talking. I mean,
well,
okay.
Anybody
that got up today, there's something that's going to cross a line the day that you've done something erroneous, a thought, you know, a deed. I mean, so I'm not dealing in agendas.
Well, we're not talking about what a personal individual, everyone sins.
But if we're talking about parties, we're talking about people.
Something.
That's personal.
Yeah.
We're not talking about elephants.
I'm not talking about an individual politician who did something bad. I'm talking about when a party supports
hold
a platform.
Hold on, Mike. Come on, G-Dub.
I'd like to interject. And again, this is one subject that I know on this show, I'm going to make a request. It's not my platform, but this is a sports talk radio. And again, one beautiful thing about sports and debt is we become life in debt sometimes over here. But the only thing that I would like on this platform right now is all of us, instead of interrupting each other, that we all give each other a chance to talk, because this is a very, very, very important topic. So I'm only going to say one thing. I don't mean to interject, but I do want to ask you one question, Mike.
Go ahead, Mike.
On this day and age, all right, they got us fighting amongst each other like cats and dogs, okay? And I follow politics to a T. It's something that I read a lot of history. One book that I do recommend that anybody gets right now is by Ray Dalio, who just wrote The Changing World Order. And it goes into a unique perspective of the history of the war lines and how different societies come to a collapse. Now, the reality of it is this country right now is following the same turmoil that every major power for nation has fallen to in the Western civilization. This goes back from the Romans to the Greeks. This goes back to the England before they moved their stuff over here, which we became a branch of England. And we are right now at a center. We're at a breaking point right now. And I'm going to say this, and I talk this perspective from a very thin line. I had the luxury of growing up in the inner city at a time when African Americans were making their climb to in this country. They were a second generation, which I always say African Americans were immigrants until the 1970s, because that's when they got their civil rights. So I had the privilege of growing up watching my African American friends rise to the top of the pie at that point. And what I did notice was that we saw a twist. Now, all of my friends that I grew up with have kids that are going to college or moving on. We never saw a race barrier. We never saw a color. And the reason I bring this up is because over the last 5 years, we have seen a division line again. And a division line only happens when there is a decay in society, when they want to see civil unrest in society. So, and the reason why I bring this up, it's not only goes beyond race lines, which I could pretty much relate to this because it's more, only one topic that I seem to know well because I grew up around it. But it, if you look at all of the other doors that are caving in on us as a society between religion, money, politics, what's happening right now is right now they want to create division. And they do this, and it, number one topic they could do this with is religion. Now, I want you to really, really think about when we talk about the Bible, the contradictions. I never preach. I do read the Bible. I am not a – I can't say I'm not a worthy Christian to talk about what's right and what's wrong. But there's one thing I will tell you. A lot of these guys and what is said in, that they try to preach the word is really not the word. And just one thing alone right now, and we all talk about – yes, we understand that – a lot of the things on, you know, it does seem that there is a lot of things that are in the Democratic Party that they, the Democratic Party right now does, and they promote a lot of stuff that the right wings would consider not of the Bible. Now, let's go back to history right now. Let's go back to before there was civil rights. Who were the ones that were not allowing civil rights? That was the Democrats. The Democrats were the Dixiecrats.
Right.
It was their votes that did not want to allow the Civil Rights Act to come. So these parties, they twist each other sometimes. So you'll see, like right now, a Democrat in the 1950s and 60s would be a Republican right now. It's a shift. It's just a title. It's like the Yankees and the Red Sox. So what I say when we
but
do all this.
But it's deeper than that. It's deeper than that. Even now, the Democrats used to be the working class party. The Republicans are becoming the working class party. The Democrats want to represent college-educated people, the elites, people who primarily live in New York and California, and they look down upon the working class in the middle of America. That's the facts. You can just see the dynamics shifting.
It's an event. It goes back to what I'm saying. What people don't understand is this elitist has people fighting over the same amount of money. They have us fighting over race. They have us fighting over money, picking up the little scraps. Like all the meanwhile, that rich agenda does not change. We're never going to reach that paradox. We're never going to reach that high. This is something that's been going on since the beginning of time, back to the Egyptian days. And it just so happens that we're living in a time right now where we're going to see a cycle of life change, unfortunately. And I didn't think that we'd see it in our lifetime. And
if people cowardly go along with it. The Americans of 30 years ago would not have put up with the nonsense that they're being told now. Lot of people in America are afraid. Yep. What I've seen in this country is a lot of people are afraid to speak out for what they know is true in their heart, out of fear of being canceled, out of fear of getting fired, out of fear of some type of repercussion or being culturally sort of, you know, excommunicated. So people go along with stuff that they know is wrong, but out of fear of standing out, they just go along with it. That's the reason these people have
the
power.
So my question here, are you saying that the Democrats are more wrong than the Republicans?
No. When I talk about, for example, homosexuality and transgenderism, when they start teaching young children in schools that are little boys and little girls,
and done under the Democratic regime?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, if you just look around the country, it's clear as day. Who's the one pushing
under the Trump regime, this is not there?
No. Dude, are you kidding me? If you go to the most Democrat-controlled areas like New York City. No, I'm just going to
under the Republican agenda.
Go to New York City.
I'm asking you a question.
I'm laying it out for you.
But
I'm laying it out for you.
Is this the same situation under the Republican regime that we now have
under the
Democratic regime?
The Republican Party does not push it on the same degree as Democrats, and anyone who knows politics can see this.
Hold on. So you answered my question. You said they do, but they don't push it to the degree that – so then the bank robbery, the guy that drives the car is, you know, just as bad as the guy that robbed the money.
Listen, brother. If you know in America how we have blue states and red states, states that have more Democrat control, some states have more Republican control. So if you go to New York and California, it's very different in New York and California than it is in, say, Kansas or Missouri or the middle of the country.
Bottom line here – two is four. So you maybe you're telling me you have more fours in one area and more fours in another area.
No, you're not hearing what I'm saying. Where the Democrats have the most control, like where they do in New York City or in Los Angeles or in San Francisco, that's where you see the LGBT agenda being pushed all the way to the max, to where they're even teaching it to young children. And they're doing it on a massive scale through the media, through the education system, and it's being indoctrinated. And then what you got going on now is a lot of people in America know that the LGBT agenda is wrong. They know it's wrong. But they're afraid to say anything about it.
Hold on. And that's what we always say about sports and death turns of the world. Dusty, you're sitting here listening. You got something to say?
Well, I don't know whether this guy's a Trumpster or what the heck is he talking about. First of all, it was a sports show we're talking about. Now you come up with the LGBT and all that nonsense. People have the right to live the way they want to live, okay? And blame it all on the Democrats? What about that Nazi regime of the ex-president Trump, who've been trying to plunder this country and turn it into his predecessor, Adolf Hitler? What are you talking about? I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Are you serious? Name one policy that does that. Name one policy. Can you even name one?
I'm serious. You don't know what you're talking about.
I do know what I'm talking about. I'm actually more versed in politics. That's why I asked you. Give me one specific policy that Trump pushed that is quote-unquote Hitler-like. I got to hear this.
Mike, can I say – I want to interject.
No. Let him answer the question. Let him answer it. He just made a bold claim. Let him answer it.
Hello?
What policy
Hello,
are you
yeah,
talking
let,
about?
You just said
okay,
you
now,
just
what's
said
the
right
question
now
again,
that Trump. Okay, he said Trump was Hitler like, and he's got a Hitler like agenda. So I asked him, give me one policy that Trump pushed or advocated for or put into law that is Hitler like. Give me one.
To destroy this world
okay,
and be president of life. That's the way.
Hold
Hitler
on,
he throw January 6th there.
Hey, he destroyed the voting because he want to be president for life and talks the bullshit that they stole the vote and he lost. Equally and cleanly. So don't give me this crap, man. Okay.
Everybody heard what you just said?
I am totally,
everybody heard what this
I'm
guy
totally
just said.
Political, but I don't want to listen to this bullshit that you bring because that's all bullshit.
No, brother, hear me out, brother. Listen to what you just said. You brought up the fact that he claimed that the 2020 election was illegitimate, right? That's the point you brought up, right?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay, now just think about this for a minute.
You fools
hold on, brother. Let me just make this point. I want you to follow up.
White House.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but just think about this. In 2016, what did Democrats say about Trump's election in 2016? Did they say that was legitimate or illegitimate?
Well, the question is, did they – I mean, here's the bottom line on
yeah,
that.
You see – oh, they're – oh, now it's –
No,
I
don't know.
That.
But
they
pulled
out of this election like Trump did. Got all these –
The Democrats in 2016 said that Trump and Putin cooperated.
You came on from a religious perspective, but you're throwing a lot of political injection in.
I
mean,
I'm addressing the brother's point. I'm addressing the brother's point that he mentioned. And he made a point.
Okay, we can go through this. Okay, so.
He said that
okay,
he,
no. Okay, so you said
I do want to say
that Democrats
say
complained about Trump's thing, but on the other hand, they didn't do what Trump's people did on January.
No, you don't hear what I'm saying, brother. That's not the point I'm making. I asked the brother a specific question. He brought up the point.
But right now,
Trump,
this is the point I'm making. Since it's my show, this is the point that I'm making. That's how this works. You know, I got a point. So, you know, just get away from him. I'm coming back to you, and I'm saying – you know, you said that, and unbeknownst to me, because, you know, in America, politics don't really mean a whole lot to people of color, but you said that Democrats had made some in maybe erroneous or some accusations that there was some hanky-panky with the Trump victory.
Yeah,
okay,
but
that's all
well
done.
The White House.
Now, well, I'm not done. Okay, now, Trump's people said the same thing, but if we go to the fact that if we just simply say January 6th, I think that says, well, we're back to the two and two being four because their four was a lot more bigger, a lot more demonstrated, a lot more orchestrated.
Yeah, so the question is how did January
6th
come about?
I'm just, you know, my point is there.
January 6th came about because if you go back to 2016 when Democrats claimed that Trump worked with Russia and that him and Putin collaborated to steal the election – Then what do we have? We had a two-year, $40 million investigation.
We can forget about what they said.
Hold on, brother. Let me just finish
about what was done. We're talking about January 6th, what was done. We're not talking about what was said. What was said is one thing, but can we overlook what was done? Hold on. Who's going to come on?
No, yeah.
Let me make a hold. I need a plug here. Let me get a quick plug in here, and we'll get back as the Sports in Depth is now turned into the World in Depth. Dr. Eddie Sports is at Block Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network, and we need a little plug here. We're trying to get an update on the Kansas City game. We'll get that back to you in a minute or two. You know, the Giants won. First time, the Giants won yesterday. The Jets won yesterday. The Yankees will be back at it tomorrow. The Mets are gone. As Marvin Gaye once said in his song, they're not doggone, but they're long gone. So they're done. That's the story with them. I think Buck Showalter is going to wind up being, the manager of the year. But at the same time, without the players. Mike Bellamy here. Come on, Mike.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media. And you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, so we're back one more time with Diane Ross. We're coming back out. Got my man from Philly. I get Jones in there, too. M East, I think they call Philadelphia. Okay, all right, we're back. Ed.
Doc. Mike, you still here?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Mike is there. Go ahead. Good.
I just want to say, again, I think this is one of the reasons the heated debate is a great. I always believe that the debate heated up like this is great. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of emotions flaring. A lot of people have some really, really strong opinions with this, and it gets really deep, which is always good. But we got to give a platform where one person talks and the other one listens. That's the only way you're going to get anywhere.
Mike, don't worry about that because we can the mute in that. Yeah.
So Mike, my question to you is, when I was talking, I do want to
My
religion.
Come on.
My perspective on this. All right. Now, I do have a question for you.
Okay,
it's pretty direct. You there, Mike?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. So now, when you come across and you say that the Democrats have an agenda to publicize the LGBTQ community and the children stuff, all of us have our opinions on, how we feel about that. But my question is to you, what are you trying to get out of this? Like, when you have this conversation, are you trying to publicize that you're not a fan of this? And what are you trying to get out of this conversation? What are you trying to promote here? Is my question. And I don't say this to try to fish. I'm just specifically asking. And the reason
what's the bottom line?
Hold on. I'm not done with my question. Because Mike, the reason why I ask that is now, even if you disagree with it totally. If you are a Christian, okay, and I know it's a hard pill to swallow for a lot of Christians who follow the word of the Bible, if you truly are a Christian, and again, whether it's your any type of thing that you're into these days, you have a manual of what you follow, which makes you a follower of whatever, whether it's Christ, whether it's anything, whether you're a CEO of McDonald's. That Christ has certain things that he says. Now, the bottom line is the Lord is the one to judge you in the end. And that's the bottom line. So whether or not you agree with the LGBT community or what it is that they're promoting, the fact of the matter is God will be the vindicator, and it's God's job to judge. You cannot like the idea of it. You don't have to promote it. You don't not have to support it. You don't have to like it. But at the end of the day, it's in God's hands of how that gets handled and when they meet their maker. Again, that's – so when I say to people, getting all gassed out about it, whether it's wrong or whether it's right, it's not our job to judge if you are a Christian. That's what it says in the Bible.
No, it does not say that.
It doesn't
incorrect.
Say that in the Bible.
No, really? But that's okay. If you go to Colossians chapter 2, it says that a spiritual man judges all things, but he himself is rightly judged by no man. In the same book, Colossians, it teaches that the saints will judge the world. So part of the inheritance as a Christian is you will
okay,
actually
okay, here
join
we go,
with
here we
God's
go. Here we go, gentlemen. Here we go. Okay. So what's the bottom line here?
The guy makes four or five points. I'm listening patiently. I respond one sentence. You cut me off immediately. What's the deal, man?
Because I want you to get to the bottom line here.
Well, how come you go on and on? And if before I finish one sentence, you immediately jump in. You're not even letting me answer
your
question.
Because it's my show. I can jump in on you or anybody else here. If I feel I have something to say because it's Doc Stanley Sports,
show.
So
you're not
going to
extend the same courtesy to me as you're saying to him?
You know, I'm the one with the basketball. So,
are you telling me that you're not extending me the same courtesy as he? So he can say anything he wants on and on.
I'm extending you the courtesy.
I get one sentence responses?
No, Mike, I don't know you.
I'm just asking you what's the rules, because it seems like you have a different set of rules for him than you do for me.
If you remember, Mike just asked me, I let him continue. Okay, so I'm just asking you because
no,
I'm doing
just
a sports
tell me,
show
just tell
here.
Me right now, are you telling me that you're only going to let me give a one sentence response in everything we do going forward? Is that it?
And give me the response.
Like
yeah, I mean, what is the bottom line on this?
Let's finish with
okay.
Him.
Hold on.
Are you gonna
let me answer him, or do you want me to just answer you and just ignore what he said? Is that what you're telling me to do?
I'd like to hear what you had to say about the answer of what I just said.
Who do you want me to answer? Because I tried to answer you, he cut me off. Now he's telling me to answer his question. So I'm trying to understand what's the rules of engagement here. What are we doing?
The rules of engagement is as I say. Now you can answer his question, but I don't need somebody coming here talking to Yang Yang. Now you're upset. But how can you be upset on the rules that I make on my show?
Because I give a one sentence. Before I finish my first sentence responding to him, you cut me off. I'm just trying to
understand
what's the deal.
Because
man.
It's my show. I can cut you off.
Okay, so
it's my basketball?
So this how you act? Are you a Christian? Is that how a Christian responds? You treat one person with one standard. You treat somebody else with a different standard.
Don't tell me about Christianity.
Oh, come on, man. You called yourself out. You said you were going to.
Okay, Mike, let's finish up here with the show. You made some points. Don't have time for it, man. Don't have time for it. Closing thoughts,
like
Mike, as we leave the show here.
I would have liked to have heard, because, again, the closing argument that he made, I believe that it's how you interpret that section of the Bible that he's talking about.
There's no question. Yeah, but we understand that. But he kept going here, kept going there. Yeah, so one thing went another way. So I don't have time for that. You know, the bottom line is God has a plan, God's in control. Now, he's been on here half an hour. He started about the Democrats. Then he went up. So we ain't got time for that. I like the back and forth, but, what could he have said that he hasn't already said and yet not answered what we wanted to know? I mean, that's the bottom line. What is he talking about? And every time we came somewhere, he went someplace else. You know, it's my show, my basketball. I took the basketball. He's gone. Okay?
Right.
We're going to close out. We're going to move on. Just don't have time for it. You know? Don't have time. When he first came on, I thought he's a guy, you know, are you guys saved? Do you know Christ? Okay, I got no problem with that. But, you know, you don't choose God. God chooses you. But now, then we went to the Democrats are doing this, the Democrats are doing that. Who was more demonic in mindset and deeds than Donald Trump, who a guy that we both know and have met continuously, you know what I mean? But so I remember Flo Anthony had a great line, you know, where did he come from? Where did he change? So, Mike, you going to be at the press conference on Wednesday? I mean, the workout?
Yes, I will.
Are you still planning?
I am, and I will.
So
I
got to put your name in so you can get the credential and okay. That'll be that. I just had the time to keep going on. You know, I just, you know, like I said, and everybody here, you know, Doc Stanley Sports, even sometimes, you know, when I interject something, I got something to say. I want to make a point to carry your point. So it's not like cutting anybody off, stuff like that, or being, you know, but my basketball. You know, so, and in this case, that's it. You know what I mean? Don't mean to cut anybody off, but I got a thought, so, you know, I don't want to lose my thought, especially if I think it's advantageous to your thought. So I'm just trying to be supportive. But I talked to Lou Pete earlier, tried to get him. He's just, hey, man, little man, make sure he gets the book. Give me some closing thoughts to Mike and let me get rolling, baby.
Well, like I said, I think that we need to get to the bottom of this Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford fight. We'll get a little bit more out of that this weekend. Hopefully with this weekend's show, we could have a little bit more light to shed on that. I still think that it's – I don't believe that it's a matter of anybody being scared at this point. I think they're doing exactly what Sugar Ray Leonard, Tommy Hearns did, letting it marinate, just like Angelo Dundee used to say. At this point in the game, it's not a matter of who's scared, I believe. These both are professional athletes who've been on the biggest stage of their careers. And it's politics, just like anything else. Boxing has become politics. It's more political than anything else right now. It's the mark of the beast in this business. And, you know, we just got to – the rotation of how this boxing game is going is not ever going to – digest well for us. We have seen a different shift. It's going to continue to shift in another direction. That shift started getting created about 5 years ago. If you're a boxing historian, you know this is a fact. It's never coming back to what we considered once a reality. So we have to realize this is it. You know, if we're going to, we either going to follow what it is. And, you know, I always say, let it play out where it's going to play out. We don't know what the future holds in boxing. You know, you got new faces, you got new rules, you got new promoters. And it's not as simple as two guys fighting that want to fight anymore and making a couple of dollars and the people paying for it. It's not that simple anymore. You have new, new rules.
I think it is simple. And
yeah, but they don't make it simple.
You understand. You understand, like, a friend of mine the other day, I didn't understand why a – manager took a pitcher out who was throwing a no-hitter. But when I spoke to my buddy, he said, well, you know, that's how they do things nowadays. And, you know, boom, 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 zing, zing, zing. And I said, well, you know, how do you take a guy out that's throwing a no-hitter? My example of the lunacy of that, Melvin Gordon got the NCAA double rushing record. And the coach took him out about halfway last quarter. Melvin Gordon held that NCAA record 1 week. Guys throwing a no-hitter, you don't pull them out the game. I don't hear but analytics. I don't want to hear that. And this here is simple, G-Dub. It's very simple. You know, no, Crawford is not the guy who sells tickets. Dusty said Ollie Frazier. Well, in the reality of that, it was Ollie who sold the tickets. You know, Joe sold tickets too, but Ollie is the – if Ollie fought me or you, okay, people are going to come and see him. The thing here, Spence – is the moneymaker. Spence is the big name. And Spence is willing to do 55-45. You know, and Crawford is a guy that has a hard time making fights. Arum got rid of it. It's very simple. You know, I think Eddie Mustafa gave Marvin Johnson everything he wanted. All he wanted was Marvin Johnson in the ring. Once I get him in the ring, I beat him. No, no. You know, Raven has said something at the Julio Chavez-Frankie Randall fight. And I'll never forget it. He said, there comes a time where it's not about the money. It's about being your champ. And, you know, Harold Weston up there, hypocrite. Okay. See, hey, 2 and 2 is 4. I don't care who says it. A 5-year-old, a professor, 2 and 2 is 4. And Ray was right. There comes a time where it ain't about the money. It's about being the champ. And if Crawford is serious and he's proven to be an asshole, you know, in his attitude, asshole in promotions and stuff, great talent, okay? But – you know, it's simple to me. It ain't about politics. This is straight-up bullshit on his people's side. You know, he must have been, you know, what are you telling me? 10% of something's been 100% of nothing. Okay, if you think you can beat the guy, then you take the fight. Eddie Mustafa did it. Don King went Trinidad. Good, you know.
No, again, I know this is totally deviating from the subject that we were talking, what we're discussing here, but you have to understand, you know, one of the things that made boxing so the simplicity of boxing represents the simplicity of the way life is supposed to be. And that's why so many things, that's why boxing's been around. That's why it's one of the first sports. That's why it's got such a elegant history. It was always that simple. What's happening now is boxing, the simplicity of boxing doesn't resonate the way the world is working right now.
G-Dub, I agree with you 100%. But in this case, in this case, G-Dub, you know, you have to be a rocket scientist, you know. He's gone from 60 to 40, 55-45, okay.
Nobody knows that.
Let's do this.
Only the world knows. Only the world, only the way the world's turning knows of what's going on right now. Boxing, just like we were talking about politics, when has politics been this bitter? When has it turned into somebody? What's happening is you have so many unknowledgeable people talking about things that make no sense, and nobody's going anywhere. Like these, like think about it right now. Dan Raphael, Mike Coppinger, Max Kellerman, I don't know who said it, but the bottom line is Floyd Mayweather basically told everybody straight up. He goes, you're clickbait. For a top-level writer to say that this fight is happening and for it to not even be in the negotiation stages, okay? When I say negotiation stage, I'm talking about the final ink being signed. This is ridiculous. It's called talking heads. It should not be.
Yeah. Well, it shows, too, that all these guys are going to be top writers. G-Dub, hold on. Let me get some music here, and we'll get right back and close out.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time
when the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world.
When I look at the world.
It fills me with sorrow.
It fills with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
live. Such a bad way to live.
Who is to blame?
Marvin Gaye, Save the Children in the background from the 1971 album. What's going on? G-Dub, closing thoughts, baby.
Closing thoughts, I feel that, I think we have to accept the fact that we are in a changing environment, not only in the world that we're in boxing, but just in life in general. And I think there's no blueprint for where we're going. We're always going to look back to what once was, which we got to realize that maybe it might come back to this, or maybe we're moving in a new direction. Just like the song, moving in the right direction, or maybe we're moving in a new direction. And I just feel that we got to see where, you know, right now you got to see where the dust settles. Talking about it, I'm for one, I'd rather say, instead of being the talking heads, the world of boxing, our journalistic profession that we handled for the part of boxing is no different than the world news that we watch. We followed a code of ethics that we did, and we followed a ladder. You started off a certain way, you worked your way, you made your bones, and you made it to a certain arena in the writing industry in our field. That was totally decimated. It was done. That was taken right from under our noses. We have a new way of doing things. No matter how hard you work, it doesn't make a difference unless how many clicks you get. And the people that are running that right now don't care about fact-checking. They don't care about spell check. They don't care about what's right, what's wrong, and if anything's correct. So it's a matter of how many people you get to just click on something. And it's the same thing. It's the news of how many people you get to watch something. There's no real journalism in it. And that's, again, so we can't expect anything less than a Dan Raphael or Max Kellerman or Mike Coppinger trying to create some buzz to get something to a newsfeed. You can't hate on them for that, because if you're following, if every industry is following the same order, especially the ones that we're getting our political and world news from, it's nothing different in boxing, and it's always going to be that. And that simplicity is what we have lost in this country, and we've lost in this sport. Life is very simple. It's not hard. You know, at the end of the day, you're always
my uncle always says that, you know, life is easy. It's the people that make it difficult. Yeah.
And, Doc, and you walk by a newsstand. I listened on a podcast once, and it was the best advice I've ever gotten. If you walk by a newsstand in New York City and you see a paper that says today 70 degrees and sunny, you're going to walk right by it. But if you see a newspaper that says major storm coming, you're going to turn around and you're going to buy that paper, because that's just our human nature. It sells. Fear sells. Unfactual stuff sells. People are going to do what they got to do to get asses in the seats, just like they're going to do to get people to read something. So again, we've just always had a balance from a, you know, a logical and an ethical perspective of how to do things. And, you know, we had that code of ethics. We've lost that. We've gone out the window. And when you have people that are running things that allow this to happen and allow things to be unchecked, it creates the environment and the situation.
In this case, G-Dub, we just is very simple. I understand what you're saying.
It should be. It should be.
You know,
it
but it's just very simple. And there's no other way I can look at it. It's very simple. It was yes or no for Crawford. And the reason why he weighs is because of the problems he had with Aaron. And because that's the way it is, doesn't mean you have to forget about the way it should be. Okay?
Well,
so that's the way it is, doesn't make you lose sense of the fact of that's the way it should be. And this is what happens too often, you know? That's because, you know, that's the way it is. You know, it's not the way it should be. You know, we lost sight of it. But, okay, we'll roll on this. But this is very simple. It's very, very simple, you know. 55-foot, it's very simple. You know, it's very Ray Leonard. Sometimes it's not about being a champ. It's not about the money. It's about being a champ. It's just simple. It's very simple,
well,
you know. And Crawford is not the one to be making the overture. Yeah.
Can I say
Let
one thing?
Let me get Larry Horace here. G-Dub, I'll talk to you tomorrow, baby.
All right.
Love you now. Doc Sandy Sports and Up, G-Dub, Mike, a boxing aficionado from wow, man, we killed the 2 hours, so I didn't want to do that. From Connecticut, and Larry Hardesty is going to tell us all the Rooney. We're getting ready to roll into the show. Like I said, to me, it's very simple. Simple, you know what I mean?
Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
Nothing you do, nothing.
nothing you say. Nothing could change the love that I promised you. When I promised you, I'd say it's 'cause you're mine. It's 'cause you're you. It's 'cause I'm loved. It's what I do. Yes, I know all there is to ever know. Where you've been and where you'll ever go. All your mistakes from yesterday and the ones you'll make tomorrow. You've been trying so hard to comprehend what kind of love could cover all that sin. Just know there's nothing you could ever do that would ever, ever, ever change my love for you. Don't ask me why. Don't wonder how. Don't bother asking how it's possible to love someone like you. It's 'cause you're mine. It's 'cause you're you. It's 'cause I'm loved. What I do. Because you're mine. It's 'cause you're you. It's 'cause I'm loved. It's what I do. It's how I'm wired. I don't ever get tired. My love's secure.
In New York, 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
to be the way I pass my time. All over town and...
What's in there? He's greatest, Vince Crawford, and then my mama. What's in there with Dr. Melvin, Axe Stanley Sr., Sports Pricer members, Dusty and Gilberto, T.K.O.T., G.W. Mike, Major Chet. What is that? His in-depth reporter, educator, his real look at the world of sports on this of Doc Stanley's renowned and legendary award-winning radio show, Sports in Depth. The version of both a daily and historical perspective, bringing also both an in-depth look, respecting not only sports of our times, but two players and performers of the said events, both now and yesterday. A.K.A. S.I.D. also brings us unique strategy of sports from an intellectual perspective. Athletics. But that it takes raw, God-given talent and condition in two takes a God-blessed mind fueled with passion, determination, intellect, and the belief of competing and accomplishing. In-depth knowledge and diverse intellect of Dr. Iconic Posse was in depth to the world of depth. And so, Judge, once again, we will rope the rumors, hog-tied issues, acid issues, and brand new truth. Other than it seems, black athletes would rather have a white agent make money off them than a black agent do so and represent them. It will never be forgotten and simply always remembered and appreciated. We're not talking about the way it is. We are talking about the way it is supposed to be. Doc Stanley's words of wit, wisdom, and truth, a.k.a. Jesus Luigi's words of wealth. Dedicate this show to my mother. And this is the 9-month anniversary. The home of glory. I remember my grandmother said, this passion. Thank you for joining us here, and we hope this is your sports home. Man in Philly, Doc Stanley, Sports Depth, Blog Talk Radio, Trust in God Network. From the bottom of my heart, I bless you all and trust in God. For sin.
I'll call you back in a minute.
Closing out with the song that my mother taught me. Dedicating this show to Mrs. To Mom Evelyn. That's Sally Sports, the Blog Talk Radio on the Stretch Cover Network.
prayers, Lord Jesus, playing in the background. We just, Lord, thank you for this day. More importantly, have you rule your way. Thank you for the mother we had. And thank you for being our Father and your Son, our Savior. In Jesus' name, the Lord. What does it seem black guys would rather have a white agent for? What about the way? Yeah, good. That's, you gave me three altogether now, right? You gave me three altogether. Okay, so, no, well, he just called me now for this last call you sent. Oh, is it the first one now? Yeah. All right, so then, no. Let me see this here. Let me end this. I'll call you right back. So, see what I get.